Within these vaults are stored such records of our achievements and follies as may benefit those of a future race who have the intelligence to discover it, and having discovered it, be able to understand it. If you have not reached the stage of evolution where you can work our machines, seal this place and leave it intact for those who will come later. A. Inscription in a Himalayan secret cavern. The Cave of the Ancients. A.T. Lobsang Randpa, from 1963. Ancient Power, April 16, 2020. The ancient colonies were concealing a great power on Terra. These people had a formidable technology using natural cosmic energies as a power supply. This energy was very dangerous, and any other civilization aware of this was a potential threat. Growing tensions had to be extinguished because it was generating more and more wars, so the knowledge and the power were buried, encrypted and dimensionally shifted, which means that you can't TMT find it, but it RTMS there in some undergrounds. You have to shift dimensionally yourself to be able to access these things. In the actual state of vibration of your planet, all the Terrans submitted to the grid and the hunger for power cannot shift into a higher frequency. They are tied down, so they cannot access these archives of knowledge. This is very well thought. Thorhan Erdian. A message from the Anshar. Juno 2th 2021. A message came to me on that day of Juno 2th 2021, from a Lemurian crystal. These crystals were concealed in the ground by the Talosian people from Magartha, who came from the stars a very long time ago, and settled colonies deep underground in the inner earth. Unexpectedly, the crystal appealed to me, and I was suddenly taken for a journey, through a spinning quantum travel with flashes of blue and green lights, to somewhere under the surface of the earth, to a place of shimmering light on the waters and rocks. It was very beautiful. I saw an artificial sun under the earth, with cities glistening under an amazing and strange light. From under the earth I heard the voice of a woman. "I'm calling you, follow me, eh?" Her silhouette was slender and beautiful. She had pale blue skin, slanted golden eyes, and long white hair. She was truly beautiful. I could read her mind and she could read mine. I understood that she was from one of many tribes of star people who settled underground a very long time ago. These beings are able to live a very long time, so long that the skin of her people had turned blue due to the change of environment and light. This woman took me for a journey in the deep underground of Earth, below the levels where war was raging in the deep underground bases. She said to me, "AI technology is hidden here. It has been sleeping for a very long time. I said to her, "Ashomia." We traveled deeper down into tunnels bathed in a strange glistening blue light, as if the sun was shimmering on water, but there was no water in there, only rock. This seemed very strange. As we were moving down into the tunnels, I could hear murmurs of hundreds of people whispering a name. "Ao Anshar, Anshar, A." I didn't TMT know what this meant. We traveled further down to a lake, and I saw her standing there, mesmerizing. She showed to me the lake with a slow and gracious move of her hand, then she said, "Ao, the hidden knowledge is here under this water." I saw a golden yellow white light under the water at the bottom of this lake, and I said, "Ao, show me." A, she replied, "Ao, we need to go underwater. Ao, show me, A." Our consciousnesses dived into the water of the lake. Traveling deep down, we reached a cave with a strange golden glow. In the bottom of this cave, was a huge, saucer-shaped ship, domed on the top with small windows around it. And she said, "Ao, the hidden technology is here. This belongs to our people, to our ancestors. It is now time that this technology is offered to the Terrans on the surface. It is time they know. We are looking for the pilot. Pass on this message. The pilot must awaken. The pilot must awaken. Bring this message back to the surface. The pilot will hear this. The pilot will awaken and come, and activate this. A. Ao will transmit this message," I said. "Where is this located?" "A. Ao Talos. Under Mount Shasta, You know Mount Shasta is torn by war, but the ship is deep, deeper down Mount Shasta, to levels where the reptilians do not have access. The ways to this kingdom are well hidden, and only those who belong to my people are able to find it. When I asked this woman her name, she answered with a sound embedded with feeling and light, as the shimmering of light and the whispering of the running water. I think her name is Ao Water in her language. I believed that this place could be in a higher density, so I immediately transmitted this message to the surface, at the time. I thought for a long while that I had undergone a metaphysical journey, until recently when I realized that I had been shown an Arkansas. I received dozens of emails from people answering the call. Maybe it was indeed a whole crew. I replied to all of them that the way to the ship was embedded in their DNA memory. Ancient ARKS. Jan 4, 2022. The Cedars have been back here since October 2021, and their presence activated the ancient technology they had left behind in our solar system, a very long time ago. The Cedars at TM own frequency is the activation key. Until now, no one, not even the Galactic Federation or the Andromedans, could switch what is called AO the Arxa back on. These crafts were placed throughout our star system but mostly on Earth, buried under soil or water. They have now been activated, for it is time, we are ready. It has started, all ancient arts, receptacle of the knowledge of the founders, have awakened. The signal pulsed once again, from the motherships of the Intergalactic Confederation, since they arrived in our star system via the old stargate behind Jupiter. They are now stationed in the orbit of Ganymede, to witness the awakening of the people of Terra and their victory upon ages of slavery. The space ark hidden at the bottom of an underground lake under Mount Shasta, as shown to me by a lady from Inner-Earth. It is time the ancient gold awakened in our genes and the chambers of knowledge opened their doors to humanity of Earth. Exploration missions have started, on Luna, Earth, a TMS moon, Mars, Venus and other places in our solar system such as the asteroid belt and the Kuiper belt, and mostly on Earth. On January 4, 2022, I asked Thorhan if he could give me more information on these ancient ships that have activated at the arrival of the Intergalactic Confederation. After receiving clearance from his superiors, Thorhan replied through our mutual device. I have clearance to answer your question about the ancient vessels that have been activated, Thorhan said. Those studied by the Terran scientists. It is exciting to watch them and to guide them, as they uncover a past that has been hidden for long millennia. Terran culture has been ready for a long time, but now that threatening shadows are leaving your world, the truth can finally be disclosed in the open. The Earth Alliance is unfolding the plan elaborated together with the Intergalactic Confederation and the Galactic Federation of Worlds of Natru, exposing what was hidden until this day. A long time ago, the Intergalactic Confederation had several colonies in this star system, located on Nara, Venus, Terra, its moon Luna, Terra, Mars, and on the fifth planet. Great wars occurred with the Anunnaki, Thorhan continued. The Chukar and local colonies, whose civilians had to evacuate to Terra or to elsewhere outside this star system. Before leaving, they gathered the essential of their knowledge in arks, that they buried deep under the surface of these planets I mentioned. These arks preserved the essential information necessary to rebuild the glory of these colonies, if one day this was to happen. There are diverse origins for these arks. Either that they carried refugees from the Sol Wars, mainly from Mars and from Maldk, the former fifth planet, or either colons of diverse origins. Refugees from the Man Wars, Lyrans, also arrived in these arcs and built their ground colonies around them. This is the reason why you will rarely find an isolated arc. Entire cities were built around them, and in some locations you can find what the Terrans call Ao Halls of Records. Pyramid generators are also to be found in the vicinity of these arcs. Many arcs are interfaced with each other by portals. When the fleet from the Intergalactic Confederation approached this star system, Thorhan added, the arcs were activated. It was time. They will start to radiate heat, Soon. The return of the Cedars marks the beginning of a new era, when Terrans are ready to receive the long-hidden knowledge. No rules are broken when the Terrans make their own research and discover the keys by themselves. You understand, this knowledge and technology couldn't TMT fall into the wrong hands. The arrival of the Cedars occurred when the enemy had lost all power and possessions in this star system. The time is right, now. Also, I am authorized to tell you that two great archaeological discoveries are imminent on Terra, this year. It will change the way Terrans look at the chronology of their history. What they believed was truth carved in stone will flow like water. What you just said, this last sentence, itatium is a metaphor that foretells a story, right? I asked. I know you. Ao, what they believed was truth carved in stone will flow like water. Thorhan laughs. Can you talk about what is in these arcs? Great technology that will change everything. What do these arcs look like? Elongated or discoidal. Some are miles long. Crystal technology. What do you mean? The Intergalactic Confederation largely uses crystalline material to transcend densities, that a built structure can simultaneously exist as solid in several densities simultaneously. Such as the crystalline architecture that I saw inside of the Intergalactic Confederation motherships. Does that mean that these ships are solid in different densities at the same time? Correct, Thorhan said. Terrans haven't at TMT yet discovered all the capacities of crystals. Core engines are powered by crystals. Portals are made of fluid crystals, as are time devices, pyramidal energy generators, and more. These density belts that we wear are made with nanocrystals. The fabric of our suits, our weapons, the skin of our ships, artificial intelligence can also easily be embedded into crystals. So these buried ships have activated at the arrival of the Intergalactic Confederation. They received the signal and responded by resonance, due to the simple proximity of the mother fleet. Remember what I showed you, certain ships are living entities. They woke up and they are starting to produce heat. Although, your people knew already about some of these locations. We left some clues for them to find. The Dark Fleet found one of these arcs, under the ice of Antarctica, but they could never activate its power and use its potential. This is one of the reasons why the Intergalactic Confederation was waiting. How many arcs are on Earth? I am not allowed to tell you, and don't you TMT try to read my mind. I won't TMT, you know I respect the rules. But I know already there is one in Egypt somewhere. South America, Antarctica, Central Europe, north and west of Russia, one under the waters of the Atlantic Ocean. This one is the biggest. There are others as well, but I won't TMT tell any precise coordinates, it is not of my responsibility but that of the Earth Alliance. You won't TMT be in trouble, right? No. What I am telling you is validated by my superiors. Since you were calibrated on a military frequency, they are listening to all of our conversations passing through your device. Is there anything else that you can tell me, that the world doesn't TMT know yet? Each revelation comes in time. There is a plan. Terran civilians will come this year to the complete realization and acceptance of other positive galactic cultures. Politically, many changes are on the way. But I must say no more, for the safety of the plan. The Earth Alliance is in charge of pretty much everything. Be patient. A Venusian ARK, Jillian A. Jan 6, 2022. Valthor, a TMS wife, Jillian, was visiting Thorhan at TMS station today. She goes there regularly for AI shopping, believe it or not. Iatmv had the opportunity to visit the AI recreation district at TM on this station several times, and it is a very lively place. It is located along a large circular promenade on one of the upper levels of the space station. It has a very high arched glass ceiling, and the shops trade food, items and clothing. Thorhan had probably met her and he thought it would be a good idea to allow Jillian to say hi via my implant, by connecting her to its frequency. I was delightfully surprised when my device switched on and I heard her voice. My favorite Venusian person, after her illustrious husband, of course. After we shared our relation to be able to speak with one another again, she told me. Great changes are coming. There is an arrival of a Terran military contingent, part of your Terran Space Force, that will permanently settle a camp on Nara, Venus, in the Ao Lower Valley. They will start digging for building their new underground facility and we will provide technical help. The Council of Five, which manages Nara, integrated for the first time, officially, a permanent Terran presence on a planetary ground in their circumscription. It is a first. There have been former Terran colonies on Nara, but only as a part of the interplanetary corporate conglomerate. They were only tolerated for commerce reasons, under the condition that they would not TMT break any rules. They are gone now. The new Terran military will prepare the ground for a future permanent colony and when everything is ready, civilian settlers will be able to move in. Which countries from Terra? It is about an international colony from Terra. All countries that are members of the Artemis Group. The Council of Five works with the Artemis Group, as also does the Galactic Federation of Worlds, of course. There are a lot of different colonies on Nara, from different places in this galaxy. Not all of them are, under the Council of Five ATMS legislation, these others are more ancient. Can you tell me about the ancient ships that have activated? I asked. The one Ark on Nara has been under the protection of our colony since we arrived. We were given this responsibility because we were the most able for this task. You, meaning as a colony from the Liran Man system? Yes, said Jillian. So these Terran military come to study this Ark? A Terran team has been working on it for a year already, as soon as they knew the Intergalactic Confederation would arrive. How did the Terran military? Well, I suppose Space Command, know that the Intergalactic Confederation would arrive. We informed them last year, when we knew about their incoming arrival. It was to reassure them and give them courage, as well as to allow them some time to prepare for the encounter with the Cedars. Is this technology going to be available to the Terrans? I asked. Yes, of course it will. That is why the Intergalactic Confederation is here. To teach the Terrans and make this technology available. Only the Founders have the keys and the codes to activate this technology. Because it is theirs. When will this be available on Terra publicly? Not before 2 years, a year and a half maybe, because it needs to be integrated slowly and progressively into the Terran structures. It implies a profound change in the energy systems. It is a transdensity holographic technology. Your scientists are being prepared for this. Thank you. I just wanted to say hi. Keep well. There was so much information in what Jillian had said. She spoke very fast and I could feel she was in a hurry. Indeed, Thorhan told me later that she was waiting to catch her shuttle back to Venus. I would have loved to obtain more details, it was frustrating. I questioned Thorhan later. Here is what he replied. This is not the first Terran colony on Nara, Jillian was referring to, said Thorhan. There was a Terran presence there for a long time already, although not under the management of the Council of Five. This, new, one will be a civilian colony only, not a mining facility run by private corporations. A biodome will be built and food will be grown, similar to the underground city where Jillian lives. They are helping to provide the technology and materials. The territories conceded to the corporates were evacuated after the defeat of the enemy. There was no slave force involved in these former tolerated facilities, as it would have violated the strict rules set by the Council of Five. The Venusian colonies, of course, earned a percentage of the profit from the mining activities. There is a prized type of mercury abundant under the surface of Venus, used in ships and propulsion systems, and also other air metals in their liquid form. I never heard of any trouble between our civilian colonies on Nara, Venus, and the corporate mining facilities. They never owned the land, they were just renting it. Where is this lower valley? I asked. ITATMS a very big rift running near the equator of the planet. What is the role of the Space Force military exactly? And are there other Earth organizations involved? I heard Gillian telling you about the Artemis Group. This is how we name the Terran Space Coalition, supervised now by the Space Command between Terra TMS High Orbit and the Plasma Belt of this star system. This tells which countries on Terra can send colons off-world. But Space Command TMS military vessels Donia TMT cover the transport of civilians, of course. Who does that, then? SpaceX is the main contractor. Is this ancient Ark on Venus, also in the Ao Lower Valley? Not exactly at the location where the new colony will settle, but in the nearby low plains. Terran scientists already live in an underground facility there. They perform regular missions. The personnel Delsna TMT stay there permanently. They swap teams. I have never been there, so I don't yet TMT know more about this. Interesting to know that the Ea Galactica colonies on Venus have been doing business with the ICC. Not only with the ICC. The ICC was also working with the Dark Fleet. There were others such as the United Corporate of Altair, and smaller ones you never heard about. All was very tightly regulated. No slave labor and only turning teams. All these small corporate companies are still allowed to work on Venus. Only the ICC is gone. The ICC lost all their assets in this star system. In the Kuiper Belt. February 2, 2022. Thorhan connected quickly for one of his famous hey, I want to show you something a moment. He was in the Kuiper Belt, training young pilots on board a scout ship, and he showed me, through his eyes, an old structure floating there, ahead of the craft. Among the icy rocks and particles pervading the area, the shape of the object looked like Oumuamua, elongated and with an uneven surface. I know now that all the ships from the Intergalactic Confederation, whatever their shape, have this organic aspect to them. Their technology is imbued with consciousness, due to their crystalline construct and engineering. Thorhan said that there were several of these arcs in the Kuiper Belt, which he calls the AA Ice Ringer. Arcs in the Kuiper Belt. Neptune. On March 28, 2022, as I mentioned previously, Thorhan gave me this message: Ao, the ships are coming, the Guardians are on the outer orbit of Terra, four ships for the moment. They are watching, in time dilation. Suspended in time like the old Oumuamua. It was one of their ships. It has activated, the ones in the ice belt have activated too. And all the others, one by one, on all the planets. Neptune is next. You will see, you will hear about Neptune soon. But Donia TMT forget to tell them, they are lucky and privileged to see this. A. Thorhan was clearly implying that there was an arc on Neptune, that it was activating, and would soon draw public attention. 2 weeks later, on April 11, 2022, multiple articles from scientific websites flooded the internet with news of a discovery made about Neptune, that substantiated Thorhan TMS announcement 3 weeks before. NASA scientists announced that despite the fact that the planet was in a cooler temperature cycle, its south pole was suddenly and mysteriously warming up dramatically, using a fleet of ground-based telescopes, including the massive Very Large Telescope in Chile. An international team of astronomers recorded some spectacular temperature changes on the 8th planet from the Sunday. This was totally unexpected and baffling for the scientific community. Even better, NASA was hinting at the idea to send their next flagship mission to Neptune. No coincidence there. Giza, the Sphinx unveiled. The author in front of the Dream Steel, Between the Paws of the Sphinx-Giza 1998. During my 8 years working in Egypt as a field archaeologist, one of my first missions was in Cairo. This is how I met Dr. Zahi Hawass, at the time head of the Antiquities Department, and working on the Giza Plateau. This man with a powerful personality, deeply passionate for his Kauantria TMS heritage, is a very kind and nice person when you get to know him, and I had great pleasure working for him. Zaytm's fervent energy instantly pulls you into his enthusiasm for Egyptian history. When he starts talking about ancient Egyptian culture, you have no other choice than stepping into that boat with him, and you may be taken sometimes to unexpected adventures. One morning, he said to me, "Ayo, listen, come with me, I am going to show you something. You tell no one." This event occurred in the year 1998. I followed the illustrious Egyptian archaeologist behind the Sphinx, to an area inaccessible for the public. The author would drive, Zahi Hawass, in his office on the Giza Plateau in 1998. The Great Sphinx of Giza is a remarkable monument that stands 66 feet high and 240 feet long. It is constructed of limestone blocks weighing up to 200 tons and it is by far the largest sculpture of the ancient world, and the most enigmatic to this day. The Giza Plateau was, in ancient times, known as Aoros Toweo, the mouth of Passar Giza. One might ask what passages, and to where? This geological plateau, marking the eastern edge of the Sahara Desert, forms a series of terraces organized in such a way, that it is nearly impossible to have a complete view of the rear area of the Sphinx. When you stand behind this monument, on the upper terrace, you can only see the top of its back and of its head. From ground level it is the same because when I was there in 1998, you could not walk around it, as it was closed for excavation and blocked by barricades. This is where Zahi Hawass took me, to visit the hidden rear of the Sphinx. There was a group of Egyptian workers clearing up an opening at the base of the Sphinx at EM Left Buttock. They were carrying baskets out of it, filled with soil and gravels. An inspector overseeing the work shouted for everyone to stop when the big boss showed up on the site, accompanied by a young French girl with long black braids. As we approached, I could see with wonderment that the opening gave access to a corridor sinking deep under the monument at an angle of about 45 degrees. Zahi explained that they found this entrance while digging to drain the water infiltration that was causing damages. Access to the excavations under the Sphinx, at its left rear. Dr. Hawass said that this tunnel went very deep down under the Sphinx and it connected to a long hall giving access to several smaller rooms. They suspected the existence of many other levels, but due to the groundwater it was very muddy and unstable, preventing to prospect further down. I had just graduated from the School of Archaeology and I had no idea at the time about the deeper meanings of this discovery, although I was aware of Herodotus relating what could potentially rest beneath the Giza Plateau. Zahi offered me to go and have a look inside. I was absolutely delighted, as you can well imagine. Wooden boards and scaffolding were holding the entrance together as to not let it collapse, and although the descending corridor was narrow, the wooden support beams made the progression even more difficult. The workers were not moving up and down the passageway, but passing instead to each other the Amoktafa palm tree baskets filled with excavated mud, soaked with water infiltration over a long period of time. So in order to let me in, the workers had to get out. This took a bit of time. Then, the inspector refused to go in first, so as not to stain his uniform. One of the workers was designated to go back in with me, as my guide. He wore a headlamp, but I could distinguish also electric lights on the way down attached to the support beams. As I slid inside the passageway, slightly apprehensive, I instantly smelled the heavy suffocating air composed of hot powdery dust and human sweat. With years and experience, I would become later accustomed to these uncomfortable working conditions, but in that moment, it was a first immersion for me. Sliding down, feet first, firmly ordered not to touch the support beams in my descent. My fingers were digging into the unstable soil. I lifted my head, to notice the entrance hole becoming smaller, and smaller. In the bright light coming from it, I could only distinguish Zaytm's renowned cowboy hat. The temperature dropped, but I started to have more difficulty to breathe. Below me, the Egyptian worker was reassuring me with a soft and continuous voice. Until my breath became too short, I began to suffocate and claustrophobia took hold of me. Now, as I write these lines, I am thinking, was it a something else holding me back? I remember, I suddenly imagined the whole mass and weight of the Sphinx right above my head. I couldn't EMT go any further. I rushed out, climbing back out on my elbows and knees.